Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. What could be more New England than Dunkin' Donuts? Okay, a lot of things, I'll grant you that. But the Canton-based coffee and confections chain is ubiquitous around here.
And as it turns out, in many other parts of the world, there are 11,000 Dunkin' Donuts restaurants in more than 30 countries, including China, Indonesia, and Saudi Arabia.
But the one market they've had a tough time cracking? The West Coast of the United States. Cross the Mississippi River and suddenly it gets a lot harder to find a culotta. And Dunkin' wants to change that, specifically in California. Over the next 6 years, the company plans to open 200 stores in the Golden State. But it won't be easy for a couple of reasons. First, the West Coast is Starbucks country. They've got more than 2,500 stores in California alone. Second, this isn't Dunkin' Donuts' first run at California. The company tried and dismally failed to launch stores there in the 1990s.
This week, Meghna sat down with Nigel Travis, CEO of Dunkin' Brands, to find out how the company plans to succeed this time with this expansion. And as the British-born CEO of a major Massachusetts company, Travis knows something about what it takes to break into new markets.
We were in California years ago, but you know, this is a company that's been around with the two brands 60 years. And one thing I quickly discovered when I got here is that we've been just about everywhere once before. Yeah. I wasn't here 10 years ago, but I suspect from what I've heard, we're a very different company now from what we were then.
What lessons do you think the company learned about what it takes to open on the West Coast? Or why didn't it work the first time around?
You know, people always say the West Coast wasn't quite ready for us. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. And so I think we're a very different company. We're very disciplined in terms of store openings. We put the franchisees and their site selection through a pretty rigorous process. We've had media in California for 4 years now, so people are very familiar with our media. I mean, I've approached it, and so has everyone here, as a new market. And I think we've learned an awful lot as we've gone through these other markets like Texas and Colorado. We think we can open 5,000 stores in the west of the country, which actually goes from the west of the Mississippi over the next 15, 20 years.
In full disclosure, I actually grew up on the West Coast, not in California per se, but in Oregon. I moved out here about 16 years ago, and it was so interesting to me because growing up, I knew of one Dunkin' Donuts off Interstate 5 in this sort of sad little part of Oregon. And I clearly remember every time we would drive by it, this is in the 80s, mind you, and early 90s, every time we would drive by it, there would hardly be any cars in the parking lot. People would sort of just zoom by it in favor of other restaurants in the same sort of strip area on that exit. Of course, it was a total revelation when I came out here, right? And just figured out, wow, there's amazing coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. Who would have known? I mean, I didn't know growing up on the West Coast. But I just wonder if there's sort of a cultural uphill climb that Dunkin's has to do regarding coffee culture on the West Coast or what people's attitudes are about the brand, things like that.
We're not too worried about that. We've had the pound of coffee, the bags of coffee, yep, in the supermarkets for some time. In fact, our biggest state for selling pounds of coffee is California. As someone who came to Dunkin' Donuts not being familiar with the brand, it took me about a month to get used to the taste profile, and then I was off, you know, and I couldn't imagine drinking anything else. But what's also interesting is, you know, we've only been out in California for about 5 or 6 weeks. And we had Modesto, which I've actually been to, was at the opening. We had lines around the door. We then had Santa Monica, same thing. So people are waiting. And it's a mixture of people from the East Coast, people who've heard about Dunkin' Donuts because it is iconic. And it is a kind of an amazing brand. And some of it's intangible. you go on the duck boat tours here, and they talk about Dunkin' Donuts at least three times. There's something special about this place that I think's already resonated on the West Coast.
Yeah, but you've been in this business for a long time, so you know that like the initial flush of customer excitement can wane pretty quickly. I mean, I was reminded recently of how, you know, there was this spectacular initial interest of the Krispy Kremes that opened in Massachusetts, none of which are still open today. So, I mean, what do you have confidence in Dunkin's staying ability on the West Coast long term this time around?
Yeah, we do because we look at the numbers of what's happened elsewhere in the West, and fine, you're absolutely right. You get this initial splurge, and yeah, when a store opens and does amazing numbers, the following year you're not going to do those numbers. But you know, most of these stores are opening at something like 10 times their break even. So you have an awful long way to go down. And then you put more stores in, so our overall revenue grows. So I think we've got all the ingredients in place to maintain the momentum.
Yeah. You know, I was very interested in seeing your background, because you've been, obviously, you're here at Dunkin's now. You've been at Papa John's, Burger King as well. You know, what are like one or two of the lessons that you take from all of these companies? Because they all face the same challenge, which is that they're in pretty crowded spaces. It's not, I mean, Burger King forever to this day has, you know, the biggest international food company as its major competitor in McDonald's. You know, I'm wondering what lessons you've learned from your jobs past and applied them here.
One of the lessons I learned early in my life at Burger King is the consumer wants something different all the time. I remember in Germany, we came out with a cheeseburger where we put one sauce on 1 month and called it a Mexican cheeseburger. The next month, a different sauce, called it an Italian. And then the next month, another sauce and called it the Chinese.
And that worked?
And it worked every month. So it says that consumers like new news.
As you do this West Coast push, as you continue to grow globally, I guess I want to ask a question which might seem borderline heretical. But what about the word donut in the company's name? I'm wondering if it's time to not be Dunkin' Donuts.
Great question. And when I first came here, I thought exactly the same. So we went out and did some research around the world. We talked about it a lot and decided it was such an iconic name. And a lot of people, particularly here in Massachusetts, abbreviate it to DD. So we decided it was better to leave it as DD, Dunkin' Donuts. Now, sure, I mean, in China, it's tough to actually translate. So we've tended to focus more on the English name. So we think about it from time to time. I think it's highly unlikely to happen in my time here, because I think I've convinced myself that we can keep the image fresh, up to date, but retain the iconic nature of Dunkin' Donuts.
Interesting, because, again, I'll just go back to my own personal experience that for people who don't know the brand, when you first encounter it, you think, oh, it's a donut store. It doesn't necessarily tell you everything about what is on offer once you actually enter the store.
Which is a challenge. We've got to make sure we do a better job of that.
Yeah.
And that's one of the challenges I think we've had in some of our newer international markets.
You're an Englishman, but your favorite drink on offer at a Dunkin' Donuts, is it tea? Because I don't think a lot of people rush to the store for tea there.
I actually think our tea is pretty good, but it's drip coffee, medium, with some cream. I mean, that you can't get more boring and mainstream than that.
No, but it's a reliable standby.
Yeah, and I have probably about 7 a day.
Really?
Yeah.
God. Caffeinated or decaf?
No, you got to keep yourself going.
Well, thank you very much, Nigel Travis, for your time.
Thank you.
It was great to talk to you. Nigel Travis is the CEO of Dunkin' Brands, and we visited him in his office at Dunkin' HQ in Canton. And Anthony, by the way, Travis also told us that Dunkin' just this year, I believe, became the official coffee of Liverpool Football Club. So,
no, interesting. Who knew that Liverpool ran on Dunkin'?
Indeed. And interestingly enough, Liverpool is, of course, owned by John Henry, who happens to be also the owner of the Red Sox. So how is that for transition to sports?
Because very, very slick.